Chapter 11. Envy the Rose That You Held in Your Teeth. The Plaza Ballroom is enormous. Even so, it's packed with couples and chairs and competition standard spaces marked out with barriers. There are vendors and sequins and dropped feathers and so much noise. Their little group sticks close together in the thick of it. Zhao Weining and Gu Xiang are holding hands, and she has hold of Wang Keqing's sleeve, and he's holding Zhou Zixu's hand as he trails behind Luo Fumeng, who wears a red dress that has already made several people think she's here to perform some silver screen-inspired foxtrot. Xiar is thriving. He drifts towards the stalls, kept from investigating properly, only by Yu Baiyi's arm around his waist, drawing him back to the group. "Can we at least sign in?" Yu Baiyi asks the third time. Xiar tries to make a break for it. "Just sign in, you awful brat. Then you can touch all the feathers you want." Xiar sighs, but allows Yu Baiyi to tuck him up against his side. Yu Baiyi is easily the calmest of the pack, aside from maybe Luo Fumeng. Zhao Weining keeps wincing from all the noise and fuss, and Gu Xiang is so overstimulated she might vibrate out of her skin. Zhou Zixu keeps glancing at the ceiling like he's looking for snipers, and Wang Keqing is glued to his phone, muttering to himself as he furiously types with one thumb. Cameras flash now and then, mostly event photographers getting some behind-the-scenes filler, but a handful of reporters, too. Xiar is, for once, not entirely concerned. The Wanderer's Cup organizers had assured him, or, more accurately, assured Wang Keqing, who assured Yu Baiyi, who told him, that they had stringent policies in place regarding who would be granted press passes. Tabloid feeders need not apply. Zhou Zixu's head snaps around. "Incoming!" he barks. All at once, Xiar is surrounded. Luo Fumeng slows very nearly to a halt. Wang Keqing steps up to her side, and Zhou Zixu slips behind Xiar and Yu Baiyi. On his left, Gu Xiang shoves Zhao Weining towards him, then ducks around to stand beside Yu Baiyi, bouncing on her toes like a boxer waiting in a ring. "Did you all rehearse this?" Xiar asks, glancing around at the wall of heads. "Luo Yi was very specific about what she expected," Gu Xiang replies. For all that she's pocket-sized, she does a better job of looking off-putting than her boyfriend, who mostly looks like he's hoping no one tries to knock him over with a feather. But he holds firm as the reporter approaches. Whatever the expression on Luo Fumeng's face is, it causes his steps to slow, if not stop. He has a press pass from some dance magazine, and a hopeful glint in his eyes as he catches sight of Xiar again over Wang Keqing's shoulder. "He's not taking questions right now," Luo Fumeng says, with a flick of her long nails. "They're dancing the smooth set. They need to get into costume, and they need to focus before they compete." "Oh," he says, then craning his neck to look at Yu Baiyi. "What about you?" "Everything I want to say is on my Twitter." "But," he starts. Gu Xiang snickers. The man's face falls. "Right, right. Can I get a quick picture and go?" "Yixie?" Luo Fumeng asks. "Just one," Xiar sighs, affecting boredom. He drapes himself over Yu Baiyi's shoulder, sets his feet, and, for maybe the first time in his life, takes a picture at a ballroom event where he isn't trying to make himself look as small and waifish and delicate as possible. He stretches through his spine and fixes the camera with his best smile. Yu Baiyi leans into him enough that they don't look like they're taking a prom photo. And then they're moving again, Luo Fumeng clearing the path ahead with a flick of her red skirt. They make it to the changing area without another incident, Wang Kaxing and Gu Xiang compete in the pro-am division, so they're allowed into the competitor's space. The rest of their retinue peels off to do something. Whatever spectators do at this kind of thing. First things first, Wang Kaxing claps his hands and looks Xiar over. You can strip and listen at the same time, right? Get dressed. Xiar rolls his eyes but unzips the first of his garment bags. Dupusa does good work, even rushed. Since Xiar will have to lead and follow in the heats without a chance to change, Dupusa made him a black jumpsuit, mostly lace and sequins, with wide-legged trousers that look almost like a skirt when he's not in motion. It has a floaty chiffon capelet that drapes elegantly across his shoulders and over his arms. Yu Baiyi, of course, is just wearing a white suit. It's a gorgeous white suit, but still. First things first, Wang Kaxing repeats. I saw you'd booked into the Ibis, and that made me sad in my soul, so I upgraded you. Here's your new room keys. I'm going to kill you, Yu Baiyi says in conversational tones. I'm going to smash you flat and leave you for the fucking crows. Xiar is too busy making sure he isn't about to punch a hole in his lace with his fingernails to look up, but Wang Kaxing shoves a keycard under his nose anyway. It reads, The Darling, in fancy font. Xiar turns up his nose. Ingratitude, beset by cruelty on all sides! Wang Kaxing bops the keycard against Xiar's chin. I've gone to all the trouble of getting us all in the same place, on the same floor, and this is how you look at me? I argued with the hotel for hours, you awful beasts. I made them rebook Dua Lipa. Ah, this isn't just Wang Kaxing being his usual overdramatic self, then. Xiar's stomach turns cold. Something must have happened. Had the press figured out where they were staying? Had Yifu? Fine, you melodramatic nightmare clown, Yu Baiyi says. When Xiar manages to look at him, Yu Baiyi is calm as ever, fingers deftly buttoning his dress shirt. Xiar catches a glimpse of sternum before it vanishes. Did you at least have them move our stuff, or do you want us hauling suitcases all over after we've danced ourselves into a coma? Yes, they're moving your things. I'm not incompetent. He gives both of them a flick of his fingers that's half salute and half wave. I'm going to see about our music. Break legs, preferably not yours. He disappears before Yu Baiyi can ask him if he's sure about the incompetence thing. And then it's time to warm up and check their hair and make sure no one's shoes are coming untied mid-heat and... Hey. Yu Baiyi takes Xiar by the shoulders. We got this. Don't kiss me. You'll wreck my makeup. Brat. Xiar checks the number on Yu Baiyi's back, and they join the rest of the waiting couples. Most of them are a man and a woman, or at least presenting themselves that way. He doubts anyone is taking advantage of the regulations because even if the old bastards in charge have accepted lead switches between dances, they don't like it. And maybe they shouldn't take the risk. Their number gets called. 372, Yu Baiyi and Xiajia Luobo. Yu Baiyi looks at him as they walk out to claim a space. What, have you been making me call you by your last name the whole time? Xiar sighs. Legally, it's Zhao Xiar. But like, fuck, I was using that. Wouldn't let you get away with Prince Xia? They roll out their shoulders, and Xiar smirks back at him. Something like that. The master of ceremonies calls for V-Waltz, and Yu Baiyi draws him in. There's a gasp the first time they switch leads, from V-Waltz to Foxtrot, the rapid click of shutters, the flash of lights, and Xiar, despite himself, grins. He schools his face a moment later into a more appropriate smile, but he catches Yu Baiyi's face, the flash of satisfaction there. This is his legacy, after all. And Xiar isn't Rong Cheng Ching, and won't ever be. But someone has to remind these dried-up assholes that there's still some life in these dances. GR spins them through Foxtrot and through Quickstep 2 with a kind of savage glee. They bow again, and he lets Yubai have the lead back as they slot together for tango. "Good job," Yubai whispers. It's not a surprise when they hear they've made it through, even if the judges probably grumbled about it. It's not a surprise to get through the next round of eliminations either. That night, Yubai reveals that he brought his own speaker just so they could play their music from the same battered iPod they always use. He sets it up on the sink and leaves it on shuffle while he hogs the bathtub, then stretches out on the couch and refuses to hear a thing about taking the bed. "We could share," Xiar offers, as though the thought doesn't throw a lump into his throat. Yubai looks at him. "If I get in that bed with you, you won't sleep. We've got finals tomorrow. Lie down, little emperor." If Xiar kisses Yubai now, he'll end up trying to rub himself off on the old monster's thigh again. And no matter what his dick thinks about that, the rest of him is too tired. He drapes a blanket over Yubai instead, pats his shin, and retreats to the bed. Day 2 dawns bright and clear, the sun glinting off the hint of the harbor they can see from their window. They order extravagant room service on Wen Kaxing's tab for breakfast and help each other stretch while they wait for it to come. Yubai eats his way steadily through a plate of wilted spinach and grilled tomatoes and mushrooms and sausage and hash browns and eggs benedict. Xiar manages half a slice of toast and a single poached egg, stolen from Yubai's plate. Yubai frowns at him, but says nothing until they're already on their way out the door. Then he sticks his hand in Xiar's back pocket. "Here? Really?" Xiar swats at Yubai, but he pulls his hand back, and Xiar realizes there's now a pair of muesli bars in his pocket. Yubai grips the back of his neck for a moment and plants an obnoxious, smacking kiss on the top of Xiar's head. And then the elevator arrives. There are other people in it, so they have to keep their hands to themselves on the way down. It all goes to shit as soon as they hit the lobby. The ground floor of the Darling is mostly opaque, but there are big glass doors that lead outside. And outside swarms with reporters. Yubai, a step ahead of Xiar, jerks to a halt as soon as he sees them. They see him too, of course, and there's an immediate explosion of flashbulbs. "Fuck," Yubai snarls and backs up. Xiar grabs onto his tank top and retreats into the elevator bank, pulling Yubai along with him. One of the hotel staff is already hurrying over. She smiles brightly at them. "I'm so sorry about that, sirs. We have a more discreet exit available if you'd prefer." Xiar hesitates. "They've already seen us. They'll go looking if we don't make another appearance."
"Actually, I'm pretty sure they've only seen me," Yubai says. "You go. I'll stand where they can see me and wait for Kaxing to come down. That'll give you and the ladies a chance to get out without being..."
Yubai's lip curls, and he cuts a vicious glare at the elevators currently blocking the reporter's line of sight.
"Bothered."
"Right," Xiar inhaled. They were only a few minutes early. Wen Kaxing would be down any second, and so would Luo Fumeng and Gu Xiang and Tiao Weining. He could just wait outside. "Good plan. Okay." The receptionist leads Xiar to a discreet side door that emerges into a service corridor. "Last door on the left will take you out onto Edward Street. Just take the first left onto Union and you'll know exactly where you are." He hurries, garment bags over his shoulder, shoes under his arm, too loaded down with stuff to move as quietly as he wants. Every few paces, he glances back, glances around. The noise stays behind him, though, in the lobby, where the reporters are getting their fill of a champion out of retirement, even if they aren't getting the scandal they hoped for. Xiao Jing's charity case, or victim, or whatever. He leaves the building, rounds the corner, and goes stock still. His throat is sand. A desert.
Zhao Jing smiles at him. He stands on the sidewalk in one of his favorite suits, one Xia'er had laid out for him who knows how many times. As he steps forward, he adjusts a cufflink. The gold ones Xia'er got for him for a birthday one year, the set he'd said was too inelegant for him to wear. Gauche. Xia'er, you look tired, he says. You've been working hard, haven't you? It's been a while since we've talked. Xia'er breathes. You don't think that's on purpose? That's hurtful. Zhao Jing shakes his head. You have to know I've been worried about you. He refuses to step backwards, refuses to make himself smaller, sweeter. He's almost as tall as Zhao Jing. He never noticed before. Xia'er draws himself up and raises his chin, makes himself cold and sharp. I think you're just worried I'd tell my story, too. But who would believe you? You've run from me straight to that. Well, I've seen the way you were dancing with him. People like that only want one thing. And you don't? Where the fuck is Yu Baiyi? Zhao Jing's smile is a terrible thing, a viper rising from the grass. I know I've been neglecting you, but I was so busy with the divorce. Wasn't that what you said you wanted? His smile widens, and he holds out his arms as if for an embrace. To have me to yourself? He takes a step towards Xia'er, going in for a hug. Xia'er steps back, more disgusted than afraid. His shoulders bump against a warm, solid chest. All right, sweetheart? Yu Baiyi asks. Xia'er almost melts into him, unexpected relief striking him in the belly. Yu Baiyi's arm hooks around his waist. It might be the only thing holding him up. Fine, he manages and adjusts his grip on his garment bag. Good. Yu Baiyi shifts his weight like he would if they were in shadow frame. Xia'er's body reacts automatically. He gets his feet under him, ready to move with the slightest pressure. Cushing distracted the mob. Let's be at the venue before they realize we're gone, yeah? He moves Xia'er with him, and it's just enough to get him walking forward under his own power. Behind him, he hears the hotel's back door slam, and Gu Xiang's noisy complaining, and then Zhou Zixu pops into his field of vision. Yu Baiyi's hand moves from his belly to his flank, and Xia'er walks forward, at the head of the crowd. And Zhao Jing, of course, is already going, gone. He stopped shaking by the time they get back to the changing area. Xia'er puts his shoes on and gets into his suit for the foxtrot. Black worked over in rhinestones and embroidery until it shimmers like a carapace, their number pinned on the back of it since he's leading. He can barely breathe with the collar closed around his throat. Yu Baiyi takes out the flash drive with their music, then pauses and pulls out a second. You like the why didn't you do it right routine better, yeah? You didn't. I still know it. It's a gamble. It's a big gamble, even if they've been practicing both, arguing back and forth about tone. The judges will like the big band music. It's enough to settle Xia'er's stomach a little bit, enough for him to inhale and nod and stand up. Yu Baiyi stands with him. Gu Xiang runs off to deliver the music. They warm up. Xia'er's blood roars in his ears, so loudly he barely hears the master of ceremonies. But they run out together and bow. The audience is awash of faces, press and competitors and spectators. And near the judges' table stands Zhao Jing, shaking his head. Xia'er tears his eyes away and finds Yu Baiyi's hand. They face each other, bow, and Xia'er turns them and does his best to stare over Zhao Jing's head. The music starts. Xia'er steps forward, and they take off down the first wall. And then the vocals start. It's not Peggy Lee, and he almost hesitates while he tries to place it. But he knows it from hanging around Liu Tianqiao. The voice is low and smoky, a little angry. Xiao Jing knows it too. Xiao watches him go blotchy red at the sound of Luo Fumeng's singing, and smiles. Foxtrot was always Xiao Jing's preference. The slower, the better. The song playing right now is right at the very edge of allowable in competition, just a hair away from too fast. It's possible the song choice came from a desire to say fuck you to Xiao Jing in as many ways as possible. Not that Xiao would ever admit to it. He's pretty sure Yu Baiyi figured it out anyway, judging by the smug grin as Xiao sweeps him through a promenade. Luo Fumeng croons from the speakers, sultry and furious. Xiao's eyes catch on Xiao Jing again for a half second, and then they're gliding through a fallaway. Xiao Jing slips from view as they weave across the diagonal. Xiao catches a glimpse of Wang Kaxing, holding Zhou Zixu's hand to his chest, beaming at them. Luo Fumeng, glittering among a nest of other glamorous women. Gu Xiang, phone propped against her knee so she can discreetly livestream. Zhao Weining, tilting his torso to shield her from the view of the event staff. He imagines he can see Dupusa and her wicked grin as she watches the livestream. Maybe with Qin Tao on her shoulder. Maybe with Luo Han on her other shoulder. For a second, he thinks he even spots Han Ying and his big golden retriever grin. He never realized he knew so many people before. The music shimmers to a close. Xiao spins Yu Baiyi out, and they make their bows. Xiao makes one stop to find Luo Fumeng and let her air kiss his cheek and tell her, with bright, wide eyes, "Thank you." She brushes down his jacket. "Tian Chao says nice things about you. I'm glad she was right." Then she smiles. "And any time I get to put on a well-timed show, I'm very happy. Go get changed. You don't have much time."
"Of course."
"Hey!" Wang Kaxing shoots him a look. "Are you running off like that?" It takes Xiao a moment to realize what he means. "Thank you," he says, the words tasting funny in his mouth. "Luo Yi." Then he rushes off. The changing area is mostly empty when they get to it. It'll stay that way for a few minutes until a few more of the couples have finished their routines and come back from watching and waiting. Xiao takes the opportunity to shuck himself out of his foxtrot suit and open up the garment bag to get his costume for tango. It's very shimmery, the fabric almost sheer through the body. Dupusa had matched it to his skin tone as carefully as she could. The back is open except where a fall of rhinestones disguises the zipper. Xiao leaves it on the hanger while he gives himself a quick once-over with a towel. "Hey," Yu Baiyi says. "Come here." Xiao frowns and comes towards him. "What's wrong?"
"Nothing."
Yu Baiyi presses a careful kiss to Xiao's head.
"You're kicking ass out there, that's all."
Xiao flushes furiously and hurries back to his gown. Yu Baiyi laughs at him, but kindly, and they get to the business of costume change. He's just gotten the dress over his head and is still arranging the fall of his skirts, back zip gaping open, when Xiao Jing storms in. "Is this funny to you?" he hisses, not shouts. Xiao Jing only very rarely shouts, and only for a word or two at a time. But his voice is all venom. "Your little friend's harassing me. Haven't you had enough of embarrassing us both? Look at you. You look like some..." "Shut your fucking mouth," Yu Baiyi says, cold and hard as a mountain peak. "Who are you to tell me whether I can speak to my own... your son? Is that what you were going to say? You have some nerve calling him that after what you've done. I can barely believe you had the audacity to come in here at all. Get out.
Yu Baiyi takes a step forward. Zhao Jing takes a step back. He looks, in that moment, small and pathetic and red-faced. All his grand claims about what made someone great, what they should be. And he never brought them here. He'd never done anything. And when their gazes meet, just for a moment, Xia'er finds no love there, no pride, just fear and rage, like an animal that's been cornered. Xia'er turns away, ignoring the ache in his chest.
Yu Guge, come zip me up.
He closes his eyes as he listens to Xiao Jing's outraged huff and the slam of the door. Yu Baiyi's warm hands rest on his hips for a moment. Then he takes hold of the zipper and draws it carefully up.
You okay?
It's silly, isn't it? I almost hoped he would say, well done. I might have liked that.
He sighs. He's just not capable of it. It's all right. Yu Baiyi's fingers brush down the lines of muscle on Xia'er's back. It's odd. Xiao Jing always hated that Xia'er had visible muscle. Thought it was ugly, too masculine for a follow. Yu Baiyi's touch is hungry.
Baiyi, Xia'er says.
He turns, takes Yu Baiyi's wrists in his hands, and holds them between their bodies, a loose grip. It's not your job to protect me from him.
I know.
Yu Baiyi doesn't even try to pull his hands away. He just rests there. Let's Xia'er put him wherever he wants.
Did I overstep?
No, Xia'er says. I don't think so, but I don't,
he sighs. What am I to you? I can't tell.
Yu Baiyi is silent for a long moment.
When Xia'er looks at his face, he seems caught, trapped. Not unhappy about it, though.
Xia,
he says, the way he says brat or the way he says sweetheart.
I'd retired before I ran into you. I was at that party because Wen Kuxing annoys the shit out of me, but he can cook, and I didn't have anything else to do.
You like him.
Don't ruin the moment.
Yu Baiyi pulls him close and rubs a hand up and down his back.
I'd forgotten that I liked people. Dancing. I might as well have been one of those corpses they dig out of glaciers. You reminded me. You and your pissy attitude. Leading was boring as shit before you.
Oh. Xia'er swallows thickly.
If Yu Baiyi makes his eyeliner run, he's going to shove him into the garment bag. He can't press his face into his neck for the same reason.
If you want me to, sometimes, let me know.
I will. I did, didn't I? You're pretty good at foxtrot.
He takes a deep breath, then squeezes Yu Baiyi around the waist as hard as he can until his back pops, and he lets out a grunt and a wheeze.
I am, aren't I?
Yu Baiyi laughs. Let's go win this thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Xia'er inhales sharply, pats at his eyes. Dry, no smudges, thank fuck, and offers Yu Baiyi his arm.
Let's go.
They waltz. It's probably a bit tragic on Xia'er's part that, even after weeks and weeks of practice, he has not developed the ability to be even slightly chill about waltzing with Yu Baiyi. It's awful. He loves it. There's something about the way Yu Baiyi holds him. More chaste than their tango, but somehow intensified by it, that makes his heart crush itself against his ribcage. He could close his eyes and drift forever, a dark cloud against Yu Baiyi's white sky. He doesn't, of course. Giving in to whatever nonsense his organs are doing will almost certainly end with substantial points deductions. But the temptation is there.
Yubai picks him up as soon as they're off the floor, spinning him in a fast circle. A few cameras go off, and a few people cheer, but Yar doesn't look at them. He doesn't even look over to where their friends are clustered. There's only a little time before they have to go back out there for the last dance. Not even enough time to change between waltz and tango. They still hurry away from the dance floor to grab a drink of water. Yubai sets a timer on his phone and shoves it into his back pocket, just in case they need the reminder. Xiar drinks carefully, without looking away from Yubai's face. And his throat clicks as he swallows.
You too, you know.
What?
I mean, that I would have given up if we hadn't met.
He takes a deep, deep breath.
I think I love you, and that scares the hell out of me.
Yubai stares at him wide-eyed. It's rare that Xiar really manages to surprise him, and Xiar manages to feel a little smug about that, even as his guts churn with nauseating regret.
Sorry, little prince,
Yubai says, hoarse but calm. Xiar blinks.
For what?
I'm gonna fuck up your lipstick. Yubai presses him back against the wall and kisses him until they're both breathless, until Xiar's matte chanticleer chelon smears onto Yubai's mouth and chin. Then they stand there a little while longer with their foreheads pressed together, before Yubai's phone buzzes angrily in his back pocket under Xiar's hand, and they both remember they have a tango to do. They make do with baby wipes as they hurry back. When they make it to the floor, there's still a smear along Xiar's bottom lip. He adds more lipstick and smudges it with a finger, so at least it might look intentional.
Please welcome Yubai and Xijia Luobo to the floor.
Xiar has enough time to snap his lipstick shut and toss it to Guxiang, who also manages to snatch Yubai's phone out of the air when it goes sailing towards her. No sense ruining the lines of his trousers. And then they stride onto the floor together, hand in hand. Xiar knows as soon as the first notes of the music starts that they're going to win. The cymbal crash, followed by the rapid-fire piano, the darting strings, and then the swell of laughter from the audience as they realize precisely what they've queued up. It's already perfect. The air practically thrums with energy. The crowd, the judges, even the press pool, they're already eating out of Xiar's fucking hand. They could abandon all pretense and just dance the old familiar Argentine, wrapped up in each other, and they'd still take the crown. They don't, because they're professionals. But the fact that they could is intoxicating. Xiar can't stop grinning.
Save some energy for later, Xiar whispers as they go into a promenade.
He has to wait for the next corner before he can finish.
I'm going to make you scream.
Yubai tips him into a dip, and Xiar stretches his neck into an arch before coming up again and twisting through pivots.
You're a menace,
Yubai whispers back. Xiar beams. He plays cruel and seductive, pays back footwork with flicks and turns like the points they want to score are on each other, and he's playing to win. Yubai's hand should leave a red-seared print with how hot he feels. The sleeves of Yubai's tux should smoke under Xiar's fingers. They whirl through the last steps, stepping around each other. Yubai's warmth sears through his shirt and Xiar's costume, all the way down to his core. A trick, then a fake tug at one of Yubai's ankles, Xiar bracing him as he goes down onto one knee. Xiar sets his toes on Yubai's shoulder and pretends to shove. Yubai tips backwards, sprawls out, and Xiar poses over his body with a hand upraised and a foot on his thigh. The crowd roars. Yubai'i practically bounces up off the floor, and they've barely finished their bows before he has Shiar in a bear hug, and then another dip, bending him so low Shiar's braids puddle on the floor. Shiar wants him so badly his teeth itch. They rise together and leave the floor at a trot, Shiar waving to Wen Kaxing in the audience. Wen Kaxing's on his feet, of course, applauding wildly. Zhou Zixu is still seated beside him, but sticks two fingers in his mouth and whistles so piercingly it probably clears the sinuses of everyone in that bank of seats. And then they hurry back to the changing rooms. And then Yubai'i kisses him, again and again, while someone else's tango music starts in the background. Xiar bites his lip, drags him closer by the hair. Ugh! Guxiang says, disgusted. You're as bad as Wen Laosha. Don't you want your phone back? Yubai'i tries to pull away, and Xiar yanks him in one last time, a slow, hungry kiss, just to remind him of what's in store later. Then he lets him go. Later, after Xiar has wolfed down both of the Mulesi bars, Yubai'i left in the pocket of his jeans and fixed his lipstick again. They stand in a huddle with the other competitors, on the side closest to their friends, and watch last year's winner's handover performance. Perhaps in honor of Yubai'i, and perhaps because as the other notable queer ballroom couple, they have an image to maintain, Jing Beiyuan and Wu Xi have taken on the traditional gown and tails combination. The sheer back panel makes an excellent argument for it, as does how the skirt makes Jing Beiyuan's legs look about 10 miles long. Xiar cocks his head to one side. You know, I bet this is exactly how they fuck. Yubai'i cracks a smile, and Xiar goes on, staring into opposite corners, choreographed, without ever moving their hips. Dry as sand, Yubai'i adds, always fully clothed, very polite. They're hot, though, Xiar sighs. Eh, Yubai'i kisses him on the top of his head. They're the same damn height, and Xiar's heels are higher, and yet he manages it with no problem. The way he does every time. Xiar's stomach flips over.
You should say that in front of Zixu sometimes, when his boy toy is around, Yubai'i suggests.
Before Xiar can ask why, he suspects it might have something to do with Zhou Zixu and Jing Beiyuan, and a bad tango euphemism. The couple takes their bows to a deafening round of applause, and the master of ceremonies steps up to the microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, honored guests, presenting the winners in the smooth category for the Wanderers Cup 2021. All the dancers file out. They're still in their final costumes, swooping dresses and tails. Their hair has begun to escape the gel, freezing it down, and a few people sport fuzzy eyeliner. Xiar stops himself from raising a hand and checking his. And then they wait.
Stop fussing, brat,
Yubai'i says, snagging Xiar's wrist as he goes to check his lipstick again.
You look perfect.
Xiar keeps a straight face, just barely. They aren't the third runner-up, or the second. Xiar tries to find that blazing confidence he felt earlier and fails abjectly. His stomach flips over as the first runner-up is announced. Yet another forgettable male-female pairing. But he vaguely remembers them being technically excellent. Yubai'i squeezes his hand. Xiar squeezes back, hard enough his own knuckles crack. And finally, it is our pleasure to announce, the MC says, and pauses dramatically. Xiar wants to slap her. The winners of the 2021 Wanderers Cup. Xiar really wants to slap her. Yubai'i and Xiajia Luobo. The relief that hits Xiar is so powerful his knees go briefly weak. Only Yubai'i's grip on him keeps him upright. And then the warm graze of Yubai's lips against the back of his hand reminds his body that it exists, that it's held together and not spinning apart. The spectators at a ballroom event are usually fairly stodgy, but someone, Gu Xiang, if he's any judge, has clearly let in a whole pack of overexcited students, screaming and cheering their little hearts out. Xiar drops a wink at them as Yubai leads him onto the floor, and one of them pretends to swoon. They're handed the trophy, pose with it for photos, and it's immediately whisked away again as the floor clears. "Please join me in welcoming our champions back to the floor," the MC says, almost shouting to be heard, even with the microphone. The music starts. Yubai takes Xiar in his arms, and the rest of it falls away.